The assigned lectionary gospel reading for this Sunday comes again from Matthew, reading from the 20th chapter. This is a parable known as the vineyard workers. And as always, I encourage you to try to identify your story in this story and find this story in your own story. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, which is one denarius, he went and sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock in the morning, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard. I will pay you what is ever right." So they went, and he went about out again around noon and about 3 o'clock, and he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage, one denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading from the book of Jonah. And our gospel reading from Matthew, this parable of the vineyard workers, both present scenarios where people are envious because God is generous to those they think are undeserving. And if we're honest with ourselves, more often than not, we are too. So let's explore why that is often the case. And I want to begin with a thorough look at our Old Testament reading from Jonah. How well do you know the entire story of the book of Jonah? Well, most of us since childhood remember the part about Jonah running away from God, getting swallowed up by a huge fish, which, by the way, the Bible never calls a whale, and staying there for 3 days before being regurgitated up on a beach. But less familiar is the specific mission that God calls Jonah to in the first place. God commands Jonah, who is Jewish from the northern kingdom of Israel, to go to the very large and notoriously wicked Gentile city of Nineveh, the capital of the ancient Assyrian Empire in Upper Mesopotamia. By the way, the ruins of this ancient and large city, which lie along the banks of the Tigris River, are near the modern-day city of Mosul in northern Iraq. Well, Jonah is to tell the Ninevites to repent and turn to God, otherwise the city will be destroyed. Well, Jonah delivers this message. And much to his surprise, the Ninevites do repent from their evil ways and turn to God, and God therefore spares the city from destruction. But even less familiar part of this story is what happens next. Instead of being pleased that he is successful in his mission and that the city isn't destroyed, Jonah becomes angry. You know, that's quite odd. Because according to this story, he delivered probably the shortest and most effective sermon in history. With the economy of just 8 words, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed, a city with a population, we heard from the scriptures, of about 120,000 people, well, they did indeed turn from their evil ways. Oh, that sermons today were that effective. And that short. Instead of celebrating, Jonah complains to God. Oh, Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What an interesting and problematic response. After God questions whether Jonah has the right to be angry, Jonah heads out of the city and waits to see what will become of it. And God continues to be gracious to Jonah even after his little self-absorbed whiny tantrum. And he appoints a plant to grow to provide him shade, saving him from discomfort. And Jonah is very happy about the plant. But in a bit of a twist that will lead to the lesson that God wishes to teach Jonah, the next morning a worm is appointed by God to attack and kill the bush. And when the sun beats down on Jonah, he becomes faint and again cries out, "It is better for me to die than to live." God again questions whether it is right for Jonah to be angry, this time about the plant. And Jonah replies, yes, angry enough to die. Well, many of us at this point would just as soon let him have his wish, but not God. God questions Jonah's concern for the plant, which Jonah did not grow himself. And then God turns this around and asks why God shouldn't be concerned about the people of Nineveh, whom we are told did not know their right hand from their left. He may not have known that's where we get that familiar saying. Well, that's where the story abruptly ends. It's open-ended and we are left hanging, not knowing Jonah's response or his next move. Well, this is a very effective literary technique, and it's also common in the telling of parables, which most modern biblical scholars believe this story of Jonah to be a parable. But it leaves us to question for ourselves what we would do if we were in Jonah's sandals. Would you or I continue to be angry that God has the right to be gracious, forgiving, and merciful to whom God chooses, even to people we despise or think are undeserving? Or will we come to see the radical impartiality and grace that God extends to all people? Well, here's where we are often like Jonah. We want God to extend that graciousness to us, but not to those that we judge undeserving. We cry foul and get upset that God doesn't play by the rules of fairness. Doesn't justice, especially from a judicial standpoint, demand that people get what they deserve? Read the book of Deuteronomy. It's all about that. And if that is punishment, then so be it. Well, I would venture to guess that basically all of you, basically all people, and including and especially children, have a very good intuitive sense of what is fair and what is not, of knowing the rules and when someone breaks them or cheats. Now, all in all, a very strong sense of fairness is a wonderful gift to possess, which many of us continue to nurture into a sense of social justice. and especially as it relates to issues of equality and human rights? Well, it is out of this same violated sense of fairness that we should also be offended then by today's parable of the vineyard workers. Jesus presents a radical reversal of cultural understandings as it relates to what we think is an issue of equitable worker compensation. Does not our own Protestant work ethic also demand that those who work the longest hours in the same job get paid the most? Well, upon further investigation, which takes a bit too long for this sermon, this parable is not addressing the issue of equal pay for an equal amount of work. Nor, as it has often been misinterpreted, is it a case of being idle by choice, like they're lazy. Rather, being idle by circumstance, another completely different issue. But instead, the parable displays a very common theme in the Gospel of Matthew concerning the realm of God. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. A reversal of fortunes. So the workers who were hired at 5 p.m. and labored for only 1 hour receive an entire day's wage, one denarius, which, by the way, was the amount of money needed daily just to simply survive. The landowner was seen by these folks as extremely generous. But when it came time to pay the workers who had labored since 6 o'clock a.m. the entire 12 hours, they too were given just one denarius. And naturally, they complain. But let's put ourselves into their shoes. Even though they previously agreed to work the entire day for just one denarius, is it wrong to anticipate and expect getting a bonus or a little extra than the persons who worked for only 1 hour? Isn't this at least on some level unfair? What about the work ethic, the merit system, the principle of justice? Well, this is when we learn that in the realm of God, God's economy does not run on the same set of standards as the world's. We learn that the grace of God is not based on the merit system, where we get what we earn. If it did, then it would not be grace. Now, at some level, we must admit that somewhat offends us. We wonder if grace does not undermine the whole reason for being good in the first place, of observing standards, of keeping rules, of living justly and with good ethics. Shouldn't our reward for being better people be greater than others? Well, that is what is taught by those who adhere to what is known as the prosperity gospel, greater reward for being better people. But don't all these stars in our crown count for something? And note that the offensive character of grace also affects the relationships between those who work all day and the laborers who came late. And we find a parallel to this in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, where the obedient older son is angry and envious of the father's welcome upon the return of the rebellious younger son. So likewise, the first workers become envious of the generosity shown the others, to which the landowner states, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Well, again, like Jonah, these grumblers are not really against grace. They're simply against equal grace shown to others who they feel haven't worked hard or long enough to earn it. We learn a valuable lesson here about divine grace. Grace is the great equalizer that strips away our presumed privilege and entitlement in the eyes of God, who puts all recipients on an even playing field. Now that's hard to stomach when we have burdened ourselves with a merit system, wanting to see some extra reward, bonus, or blessings for all of our labors and our hard work. We don't like it when God is gracious to those that we deem undeserving, and for many of us, especially in this congregation, that would include those who are racist, sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic, or anti-Semitic. Some of us might include those who display bigoted characteristics of nationalism and fundamentalism. But yet others might add those who came to this country without proper documentation, or their children who came out of no choice of their own. The grace of God no longer seems so sweet and sentimental or so amazing. Now, this parable leads most of us to relate primarily to those all-day workers who claim a sense of privilege and seniority and entitlement. So we feel a bit cheated. However, and here is the real twist. What if all of us were to see ourselves not as the all-day laborers, but as the 11th-hour workers? Those who came at the very end of the day. In that case, we are the ones who receive much more than seems fair. God's apparent unfair graciousness is then seen for what it truly is: God's graciousness and generosity to all. And we also learn then that a position of humility is essential to recognizing God's generous grace. So in the realm or the kingdom of God, which I define in part as the way we are to live and be in relationship with all creation in the here and now, the merit system is thrown out. There are no stars for our crown. We serve God and each other not for reward or recognition or prestige, but out of a grateful response to God's love and goodness to us. So by definition, grace is not about fairness or our worthiness, but solely about God's loving kindness. So if and when you and I become envious because others also receive God's gracious generosity, take a step back and redirect that response to one of gratitude. After all, that undeserved, radical grace of God has been extended to each one of us, to you and me. Reflect this week upon how God has been gracious and generous to you. And reflect upon how all people are beloved by God. It makes me wonder if Jonah and those all-day workers ever came to understand this. Amen.